Why did you threaten us, Zachary Nixon Johnson?
I hopped down off the pad to get your attention. How did you find me so fast?
The computer in your brain gives you a unique human signature, making it easy for us to locate you.
Why'd you bring my girlfriend and the kid?
Okay, we can't that accurately locate you.
No problem. Well, no big problem. The key issue is I'm here, and you can put me where I need to go.
Where do you wish to go?
I need to get to the Earth Force Orbiting Space Station. Well?
How do you know that we know about the existence of that base and its location?
You're nosy aliens. They all shrugged at once.
Fair enough. Well put. We like to keep up.
So, can you teleport me to the base?
We cannot transfer you directly to the base. There is a magnetic field over it, preventing all teleporting in or out.
I figured that. That would be too easy. Can you just get me to the elevator?
They turned to each other and started chatting quickly in their own language. Interestingly enough, they decided to talk out loud instead of telepathically. Electra walked over to me.
You know these aliens and work with them?
We're associates.
Sub-absolute zero with three O's!
Hey, calm down, son. We don't want to have an accident on the alien ship.
The aliens turned back to me.
And what is in this for us?
You get to know you helped me take Natasha out of circulation while keeping her alive. Remember, that's what you wanted.
They conversed again.
That's what we wanted, but that was before we knew you would want our help. It costs us energy to teleport you up and down. We're on a tight budget here. Energy just doesn't grow from stardust, you know.
The Gladians may very well be the cheapest beings in the entire universe. If they aren't, I pity us all.
I'm working for free now.
Surely they paid you something for your troubles.
Not a lot.
Not a lot is more than nothing.
Why do you want Earth credits anyhow?
They like to shop.
Understandable.
Time was wasting, and time was one of the many resources we didn't have a lot to waste. Sadly, so were credits.
All right, I'll give you 3,000 credits.
That's not much.
More than it costs to teleport anywhere on Earth.
This isn't Earth.
Zach will also give you a percentage of sales of his memoirs when he, well, more likely I, write them. He'll give you 1%, a very generous offer.
All three of the aliens looked at each other.
Excuse me, aliens?
Yes?
Do you have a bathroom on board?
No, being highly advanced beings, we have no need to relieve ourselves.
Really?
No, of course not. We have a public relievement facility in the main area of the craft that resides below the bubble section you are currently located in.
How do I get there?
The ship is totally built from nanotechnology, meaning it has 100% elasticity and can be molded to meet our ever-changing requirements. And it has complete area-to-area teleport capacity.
I repeat, how do I get there?
Look upward and state your destination.
JJ looked up.
Bathroom, fast!
Now, if we can please get back to the matter at hand, getting me to the base?
We need to discuss it among ourselves and our planet-based accountant consultants.
The three aliens looked at each other. I could only assume they were debating. The debating went on and on. Electra leaned forward.
Are Gladians always like this?
Afraid so. Guys? I have a superpowered lady to track down. What's going on? Some sort of meteor heading our way? Has Earth Force launched missiles at you?
Worse!
One of the aliens touched a button on her sleeve and pointed to the middle of the room. JJ materialized. One of his hands was outstretched and holding a couple of socks. He had a weak grin on his face.
Somebody is trying to steal from us!
Let me deal with the idiot.
I walked up to JJ. He was slumping over like maybe if he slumped over enough, we wouldn't notice him. I gave him a slap on the back of the head.
Ugh. What the tweet were you thinking?
He put his arms behind him and slumped backward.
I figured nobody would miss three socks.
What were you doing with socks?
Are you kidding? Actually worn alien socks? I can make a small fortune selling these on E-Square Bay.
I grabbed him by the collar.
You risk the safety of the Earth and interplanetary relationships over socks?
The three aliens moved forward. They were more curious than angry.
How much of a small fortune?
Probably 10,000 credits each. I can act as your middleman, selling the socks and keeping 10% for myself.
2%.
8.
3.
5.
The aliens looked at each other and smiled.
Release the boy.
I let him go.
This is a business opportunity our highly advanced alien minds could never have before considered. For that we are grateful.
So now do we have a deal?
Besides our deal with the young one, our pre-sock-stealing offer still stands?
It does.
We have a deal.
The leader pointed to the teleport pads.
Please stand on the pads.
There was no time for thanks, complaints, or goodbyes. Electra, JJ, and I moved to the teleport pads.
This was cool, even if I didn't get to keep the socks.
We appeared in a long, plain corridor.
Is this the right place?
Three heavily armed military men dressed in blue battle armor were coming at us from one side of the corridor. Two more were coming at us from the other side.
I'd say yes.
Halt!
We all put our hands up to show we meant no harm as the five men surrounded us. Something about them wasn't quite right. Their movement seemed forced and jerky, more like puppets than men.
I'm Zachary Nixon Johnson.
We know who you are.
I need to take the elevator to the base for official World Council business.
Sorry. The base is on lockdown.
By whose orders?
By the order of General Wall.
That was it. The final sign that I was dead right. Sandy Wall had made it clear that whenever anyone referred to her, it would be as Two-Star General Wall. She'd have been especially firm about it with her own troops. Natasha, on the other hand, probably couldn't care less. And so, neither did her puppets. Natasha was on that base. In fact, she was running the base. It was up to me to get up there and talk her down. Of course, there are at least five heavily armed men who felt differently. But I've never been one to let something like that stop me. Gates, five heavily armed, well-trained soldiers against Electra, JJ, and me? I would triple down on those odds any day. I raised both of my arms so the troops knew I would be no trouble.
Listen, my fine soldiers, I know you're just doing your duty, but I have to get up there.
All five of them lowered their guns and aimed them at us. They flipped off the safeties. That was my cue. I blasted the first guy with a heavy electrical stun bolt. He may have been wearing body armor, but it wasn't built to take a shock. Spinning toward the others, I became a spectator. Electra put one down with a sidekick to his knee, followed by a snap kick to the chin. She put the second guy down with a vicious spinning scissor kick to the top of his head. JJ wasn't nearly so elegant. Moving forward quickly at the two guys closest to him, he extended his arms, clotheslining them. Once behind them, he turned and used his body weight to drive them both into the floor face first.
That was fun. Are there more?
No, only those five guards at the elevator.
Oh.
I pointed to the door at the far end of the corridor.
Let's go.
Walking toward the door, JJ could barely contain his excitement. Even Electra seemed extra pumped.
I forgot how exhilarating a real fight can be.
Can't wait until we get up.
There is no we, just me.
No fair.
Mi amor, you won't have much of a chance up there without us.
It's too dangerous. Besides, I won't have much chance with you either.
But
if I fail, it's going to be up to you two to rally the troops and stop Natasha.
I looked at the door. Harf, can you open it and get me up there?
Helena gave me the access code, so yes.
That was very helpful of her.
I gave her a dynamite ceviche recipe.
How long will the trip take?
35 minutes, and they will know you're coming. I can cloak you, of course, but the cloak doesn't do much good in a small enclosed area.
Well, open it up and let's get rolling.
Are you sure about this, Zach?
No, of course not. I just don't see any other way.
If we could convince Earth Force that Natasha has taken over their top secret base, I'm sure they would nuke the place. I am also sure they would think the 100 people on the base were acceptable losses.
They might. I don't.
No, of course you don't.
Besides, the base has to be worth billions of credits. They're probably not that anxious to nuke something so costly.
You're smarter than you look.
So are you.
Damn straight.
Let's hope you're a lot tougher, too.
Huh. Believe me, kid, I am.
He is.
He surprises me all the time. Though he did cry watching Old Yeller last week.
I wasn't crying. I've been peeling onions for a salad.
Zach is as surprisingly tough and persistent as a real stubborn, not particularly intelligent bulldog. If anybody can pull this off, it's him.
Thanks, Harv. I walked into the elevator. Electra, I love you.
I know.
You were crying during Old Yeller, though.
The ride up to the station would take 35 minutes. Since we had nothing else to do, Harv, Gus, and I talked.
So, what's the plan, Mr. Zach?
Gus, how long have you been with us now?
1 year and 12 days.
And how many plans have you seen Zach devise in that time?
It depends on how you define the word plan.
The way you or I or any rational machine or being would define plan.
Define rational.
Oh, now you're just stalling.
Define stalling.
You are almost as irritating as Zach.
Well, I think he's got a long way to go before he reaches my level.
I so agree with you, Mr. Zach. Hope not that I find you annoying.
Ah, now you just contradicted yourself, you silly gun. Now I've got you.
I'm just playing with your central processor.
Me too.
I should have let Natasha fry both of your brains. It would serve you right to be her lapdogs.
Oh, Harv, sir, you won't let that happen.
No, of course not. I'm a professional.
So Mr. Zack pays you?
I get paid by the pride I get from doing my job well. Oh, Doss, I let both of you get to me.
I do have a plan.
You do?
You do?
Well, I'm pretty sure the element of surprise is not on our side.
You can bet on that.
I'm not a betting weapon, but I agree.
So we won't even bother cloaking. We won't put up any fight. We'll fake surrender, and when they let their guards down, we'll blast away.
Actually, we will cloak, and we'll blast away the nano the door opens.
See, he does have a plan.
Not a very good one.
Nobody said it had to be a good plan, though I believe in it.
Zack, whoever is running the station is clearly listening to our words and must know that we know that they know we know they are listening.
So?
So therefore, they must realize we won't do what you said.
Actually, I'm betting they're thinking that since we said that and we know that they know that we know that they're listening, they're thinking, we're thinking, they're thinking that we'll do the opposite of what we said, but we'll actually try to do what we said.
You can't tell me even you actually followed what you just said.
See? That's why I don't like the plan. Things get too confusing. The thing is, we're in a small box. They know we're here, and they know we're coming.
Not exactly inspiring my confidence there, Zack.
So this is one of the times when our best plan is to drop, cloak, blast away, hope for the best, and build from there.
I'm glad machines can't really die. Oh, did I say that out loud?
For once, Gus, you and I agree.
Since we have time to kill, how about them Mets? No, it wasn't much of a plan. In fact, even I had to admit it was a lousy plan. The thing was, we didn't have a lot of options. I was hoping that by at least stating my false plan out loud, they might think that really wasn't my plan, as nobody would be stupid enough to say their plan out loud unless the plan was a red herring. Problem was, any way this played out, Natasha held the best hand. She had all the advantages. When drop, shoot, and pray was the best plan you had, you better hope you got a lucky break. Sure, things weren't looking bright, but all I needed was one break or one lucky shot to turn the tide. My hunch was if we took Natasha out, at least knocked her out, whatever hold she had over everyone would be broken.
I think the Mets need more pitching.
I think they need another bat. I like bats.
You would.
I would what? Think they need another bat or like bats?
Both.
I listened for the next 20 minutes or so while the elevator ascended, as Harv and Gus discussed the pros and cons of pitching versus hitting. Not to mention the pros and cons of preferring hitting to pitching based on one's shape. I smiled. If this was going to be the last conversation I ever heard, at least it'd be a fitting one for my life. Plus, if this debate between my gun and my computer went on much longer, I might actually welcome Natasha erasing my brain. It's showtime.
Right, cloaking now.
When the door opened, Natasha was already standing there.
Nighty-night, Zack.
The next thing I knew, I was waking up in bed. Turning to the left, I saw Natasha sitting there watching over me.
Welcome to my new home.
Tweet. Harv, are you there?
Harv and Gus are still sleeping. I thought it would be better if we talked alone.
She took me by the hand and helped me up to a sitting position.
Come, I'll give you a tour.
I quickly ran through the course of options I had. Gus and Harv may have been deactivated, but I still had my good old knife down in my ankle holster. Plus, I'd stuffed a backup gun behind my back. Knife versus super powerful babe who can kill people simply by being in a bad mood. I stood up.
Give me the tour.
Natasha anxiously took my hand and led me out of the room.
The place is perfect for me. There are currently only 55 people up here. Well, 57, counting you and me. So it's just enough to keep me company. And they are all military or military consultants. Even if I slip and actually kill somebody, I don't feel overly guilty.
How special for you.
Zack, I am letting you keep your brain as it is, but if you continue to get all spammy and snotty with me, that can be remedied.
We walked by a couple of soldiers in the hallway. They meekly smiled and waved politely to us as we passed.
I can make you just like them.
Ah, the Stepford soldiers.
I understand the reference and agree.
Natasha was certainly a happy camper as she took me to all the station's hotspots. First, she showed me the male bunk area where all her male friends slept and hung out. Blue walls surrounding beds and a few tables surrounded by chairs. A couple of guys were lying in their beds, a few were playing cards. They all seemed happy and waved when they saw us. Next, we saw the female bunk area. Pretty much the same thing, only with pink walls and less card playing.
I picked out the color scheme myself.
For the next stage, we passed the lab areas.
They looked very well equipped, but we didn't stop there.
The labs are so boring. No need to go there.
We reached a big open area. One end was filled with ping pong tables, a pool table, a few virtual HV games. The other end had a stage, a popcorn popper, and lots of seats. Semi-zombie-like soldiers were going to and fro, smiles locked on their faces.
This used to be the weapons range. I converted it to a rec room. More fun this way.
Yeah, I can see that. She led me to the gym, filled with treadmills, anti-grav weights, free weights, mats, medicine balls. Pretty much any piece of equipment that workout enthusiasts would want. A few people were using the machines.
Here's where General Wall and I share the same vision. We both agree that a first-class gym is important for both mind and body.
I won't argue. Next stop was the mess hall. Not much different than any other cafeteria I'd seen.
Nice mess hall.
It's not a mess hall.
Oh?
We now call it the fine dining room. Mess hall just sounded so messy.
True. Only the military can take something as basic and useful as food and make it seem unappealing.
You are a wise man, Zach.
I wish you'd tell that to Harv. As a wise man, I'd like to point out that taking control of other people's minds is wrong.
Yes, I know. Sometimes, though, Zach, survival of the fittest trumps doing the right thing. If I could figure out some way to live up here without controlling their minds, I would. Just like if I could live on Earth without being hunted, I would. I can't. So I make the best of it. One option, I suppose, would be to broadcast over the Peapod Network and make everybody on Earth love me. But I thought that would be even worse.
Well, I agree with you there.
I could very well rule Earth if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
That's good.
I just want to live my life in peace. If that means turning a few troops into my very obedient friends, so be it. It's not really that much different. Instead of taking orders from generals, now they take requests from me.
It was then that I noticed General Wall was sitting alone at the head of one of the tables. She was eating soup.
Speaking of generals, I see you have General Wall as one of your friends now.
Yes, I like her much better this way. Take away her meanness and most of her personality and she's okay.
Looking at the general, something else wasn't quite right. I moved closer to her.
Where are you going, Zach? The tour is not over. I have to show you my favorite spots, the library and observation rooms.
I kept heading toward the general.
Are you hungry?
I didn't know it set off my alarm about the general, but something was wrong. The general didn't have the right vibe. Getting closer, I noticed that she only had one star on her uniform. I knew Wall was not the kind of woman who would wear one star when she should be wearing two. Nope. Even in her reduced state, she'd still be proudly flaunting that new star. Natasha studied me, studying the general.
Something is wrong.
She looked at me, then looked back at the general.
She only has one star. According to your mind, she should have two.
My mind is probably wrong. I'm wrong a lot. Just ask Harv.
Natasha stared at the general.
Why don't you have two stars?
The general slowly looked up from her soup.
I do not know. Lost in the mail?
You are not General Wall. You have an organic brain with the general's memories and thoughts, but your body is artificial.
Natasha locked her eyes on the faux general. The body fell to the ground, shaking. It started smoking. A brief flare, and then it was a burn spot.
How could I have let my guard down?
Well, it can't be easy taking over an entire base.
Elevator arrival in 3 minutes.
What? I didn't okay any elevator activity.
This was an elevator override by two-star General Wall.
How could I have let my guard down? I was so happy, I wasn't thinking straight. I'll have to fix this.
I popped Gus into my hand. He may have been deactivated, but he was still a fine club. Moving forward before Natasha even had a chance to think, I whacked her on the back of the head.
Oh!
She crumpled to the floor.
What did I miss? What did I miss?
Harv noticed Natasha lying on the ground.
Well, blow me down and call me a PlayStation 3. You can function without me.
Natasha hadn't been on the floor for a minute when General Wall and her team of heavily armed stormtroopers burst into the fine dining room. The general, who was wearing her two stars proudly on her shoulders, smiled when she saw Natasha lying there motionless.
Good work, Johnson. You've surprised the hell out of me.
You're not the first.
Is she dead?
No, of course not. She just underestimated me, too.
Two of the troopers bent over Natasha. One put a helmet on her head, the other put bracers on her feet. General Wall's grin widened.
My plan worked perfectly.
Your plan was to confuse Natasha with a fake you so I could knock her out?
I am a master strategist. Patton had nothing on me.
All the troopers in the place who had been under Natasha's control were shaking their heads, trying to make sense out of what had just happened.
So you knew I was here?
Of course! I knew once your mother-in-law told you to give up, you'd have to push. I also knew you'd figure out Natasha was here. Not sure what it is, but you two do have some sort of funky connection. Perhaps it's from the computer in your brain.
How did you know Natasha would come?
We have profilers. They are very good at what they do. We knew she would consider this the perfect environment.
Plus, you were subliminally conditioning her to come here in her dreams.
Why do you think this?
Tua mentioned it.
Damn civilians talk too much.
Yeah, well, it'd be ugly if you cut all our tongues out.
That's why you and she were connecting so well. They must have been broadcasting the messages on a frequency I, too, can pick up.
It was just our emergency backup plan in case she escaped. This way, we would eventually know where to find her. A nice, secure place where she can be controlled.
I looked for some point to argue about. I didn't find anything. I couldn't really find fault with the logic, especially since it had worked. Natasha was back where she should be, with the people that knew how to deal with her. They would treat her right, wouldn't they? Yeah, of course they would, I told myself. The general put her hand on my shoulder. Funny, I hadn't pegged her as a touchy-feely kind of gal.
The job you've done here has been exemplary, Mr. Johnson. Rest assured, your account has been credited at the agreed-upon rate.
It has.
My best men will now walk you to the door.
Two beefy troopers in full armor positioned themselves behind me. One directed me toward the door. Instead of moving forward, I turned to face General Wall.
And what happens to Natasha now?
We'll keep her here for now, heavily sedated so we can run some tests. She'll be safe, just not in control.
Are you sure?
Don't worry, Zack. I promise you on my honor as a warrior, no harm will come to her.
I eyed her over. Being a PI, I'm good at reading people. I got mixed feelings about the general. No eye twitches, no subtle tells. She was telling me the truth. It just didn't make me feel as good as the truth should make me feel.
This way, sir. The elevator is waiting.
The troopers and I left the room and headed through the hallway toward the elevator. My job had been completed. Once again, I'd taken out a dangerous dame and made the world safer, I told myself, trying to convince myself all was well. But I still didn't feel better. I wasn't happy, I wasn't sad. I was just kind of indifferent. I'm not supposed to be indifferent after wrapping up a case this big. Something was rotten on this space station. Then it hit me, like 2 metric tons of steel-reinforced bricks dropped from a rocket. They'd been playing with my brain all along, too.
Harv, I've been used, haven't I?
Zack, you're a PI. Of course you've been used. It comes with the job.
But I've been used without my knowledge.
True. Though if it's any consolation, I don't think they initially planned this. Somehow, your link transmits over the same frequency as the messages they were sending to Natasha. You just picked up on them subconsciously.
But the general knew something was up.
Unless she is a moron. Which we really can't rule out.
So, she may not have planned for me being linked to Natasha through you, but she used it.
It was abundantly clear that my work here may have been done, but my mission wasn't. I needed to talk to General Wall. There was more to this story than met the eye at first glance, or the brain at first thought. She was trying to muscle me out of the picture before I put the pieces together. I didn't like this at all. Not one little iota. I stopped walking. The elevator door was within spitting distance.
Please, Mr. Johnson, continue forward.
I turned away from the door and faced the troopers. I needed to see the looks on their faces. I couldn't because they'd pulled down the dark visors attached to their helmets' rims. Oh yeah, they were here to make sure I got on that elevator whether I wanted to or not. The problem for them was, I really didn't want to. Each of the soldiers positioned one hand on his weapons and pointed to the elevator door with the other hand, just in case I'd forgotten where it was. I hadn't. I just no longer gave a spam.
There's something I forgot to tell the general.
The troopers drew their weapons.
Send her a nice email.
So much for the nice guy approach, but I wasn't about to finish last. I lifted my arms and turned back toward the door.
Okay, you don't have to hit me with a cattle prod to let me know when I'm not welcome.
Harv transmitted himself from my wrist communicator.
Actually, Zack, most times you do have to be hit by a cattle prod to get the point.
No, I don't.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Name one time.
There was that time at Police HQ in New Vegas. Then the time at Police HQ in Frisco.
I said one time.
That was my cue to strike. Spinning around to my left, I popped Gus into my left hand, striking the man on the left in the neck where he wasn't protected by armor. The second trooper opened fire on me. His energy bolt burned a hole in my shirt, but glanced harmlessly off my Under Armour. I couldn't see his face under the visor, but I was betting he had a look of shock. Just because I don't wear my armor on the outside doesn't mean I don't wear armor. I hit him with a concussion blast to the chest.
You're just lucky the World Council doesn't buy their stormtroopers the best energy and concussion-proof armor.
Yeah, lucky me. I live in a world where politicians save money on everything that's not their salaries.
I started back up the hallway to track down General Wall and Natasha.
Thanks for the help distracting the guard there, buddy.
No problem! Though I hardly call clobbering and shooting distracting.
He was talking to me.
Oh, I knew that.
Anyway, thanks for the help, Harv.
Who said I was helping?
Harv may never admit it, but he needs to be helpful. Another time I might have rubbed that in a bit, but then wasn't the time. I was outnumbered 50-1 and going to rescue a super deadly being who might or might not need rescuing. I figured at that moment I needed all the assets I could muster.
Do you know where General Wall is?
I've put you into stealth mode.
Great, thanks. That's helpful. It still doesn't answer my question, though.
Yes, well, her team has mostly blocked me from accessing their systems or cameras.
Mostly blocked?
I'm good, Zack. Very good. So I can't tell exactly where she is, but I have a fairly good idea.
Can you give me a clue?
There are extremely high amounts of energy coming from a room up ahead. One of the rooms Natasha didn't bring us into.
One of the research labs?
Yes.
I didn't know why, but I started to shudder. Heading toward the door, Harv was picking up extreme energy readings about which I was anxious to get some answers. Problem was, I didn't know how forthcoming the general would be. I was guessing she wouldn't be very open at all. She held most of the cards. I was gonna have to be forceful, charming, or tricky. My biggest chance of success would probably be the last one.
I've got okay news and really bad news about that door we're coming up to.
What's the okay news?
I've managed to download and review the station's specs.
So what's the bad news?
The door is super carbon plexi steel reinforced with a manual bolt. Once closed, it can't be picked, shot up, or forced open from the outside.
What about the wall next to the door? Nobody ever thinks about the wall.
It is also reinforced with super carbon plexi steel.
Drawing closer to the door in question, I saw it was guarded by three more heavily armed troopers. There was one on each side of the door, plus another one across from the door.
Apparently, the general really wants her privacy.
Wouldn't you?
No, Gus. I'd make it as easy for my potential foes to get to me as possible.
You're being sarcastic, aren't you?
Bingo.
It looked like the only way I was going to get into that room was if they let me into that room. The only way that was going to happen was if I surrendered. Of course, I couldn't make it too obvious.
Okay, Harv, let's make this look like an accident.
Zack, with you, that'll be easy.
From the shimmer in front of my eyes, I knew he had lifted the cloak. It was showtime. I kicked the guard across from the door in the gut. My cloak is down!
Sorry, Zack, my battery is drained.
Okay, making up excuses wasn't Harv's strong point. Even so, I had to roll with it. And the punches. The second door guard hit me with a right to the chin. I staggered against the wall. I could have fallen, probably should have fallen, but I didn't want to make it look too easy.
Zack, what makes you think the guards will just capture you and not kill you?
Hell of a time to bring up that potential flaw in my plan, buddy.
I kept Gus sheathed. If I did get captured, I was going to want him to be available for me. The troopers all drew their weapons.
The general will probably want him alive. Just use clubs on him.
You are so lucky.
The guards drew in on me.
Come on, Zack. Wake up.
I knew what Harv wanted. I just wasn't in the mood to open my eyes yet. Everything hurt. I figured exposing my eyes to light would increase the pain.
Come on, Zack. A beautiful damsel in distress needs us.
That's right, Mr. Zack. It's time for the good guys to save the day.
Opening my eyes, I was glad to see I was in the same room with Natasha and General Wall. I wasn't so glad to see that I was tied to a big wooden chair, surrounded by guards in every corner. I was even less glad to see Natasha had been strapped down on a large gray metal gurney. Her legs were still bolted. They'd also placed a funky-looking electronic headpiece across her forehead. The headpiece had optic lines running from it to a strange-looking machine, like an old-fashioned computer. I could see Natasha's chest rising and falling, so she was alive. One lady in a lab coat was monitoring Natasha. Another lady in a lab coat was manning the machine. A balding guy in a lab coat was positioned next to the general. For her part, General Wall was supervising like a good general should. There was another gurney next to the one Natasha was lying on, only this one was padded and had pillows.
I was pretty sure I knew what was coming here. Somebody's been watching too many sci-fi flicks. The general looked over to me.
How nice of you to be awake. And this is hardly sci-fi.
More like horror.
Oh, Zachary, one man's honor is another woman's pleasure. I'm going to drain Natasha's mental powers and put them into me.
It can't be that easy.
It hasn't been easy. I've been planning this for the last 6 years. I even convinced your good buddy Dr. Poole to slip some of my DNA into Natasha. Not a lot, mind you. Mostly just that which determines brain structure.
So, Natasha was basically your human guinea pig. Let her test out the power for you, then you take it.
Not at first. At first, my DNA being injected into her was just to make her more like me. Hopefully easier to mold. Turns out that wasn't the case. Too much of your niece in her. Would you believe she doesn't enjoy being able to kill people with a thought?
Imagine that.
When it became apparent she wouldn't do our bidding, I changed the plan. I decided I would take her powers. I know how to use power.
So how do I fit into all this?
You, Zachary, were just an errand boy. Somebody to help fetch Natasha when she went astray.
I'm actually much more than that.
I'll bite. How much more are you?
I'm the guy who's gonna stop you.
Zachary, stop! You're killing me with your humor. Believe me, Zachary. While I was fake laughing outside, I was really laughing on the inside. You are tied to a chair and surrounded by my most loyal troops. You have no chance.
I love it when my enemies talk like that. It means they've underestimated me and let their guard down. I made a career out of taking advantage of people who make that mistake.
Are you sure about that, General? Zach has saved the world on a number of occasions.
Please, he's just a glorified gopher. It's my job to save the world. I plan to do that better now by keeping order. Make them think how they are supposed to think.
He does have a highly advanced computer in his brain.
Yeah, right. A flawed computer. Some people had such high hopes for it once. I told them a machine would never have the guts to do what we needed.
I'm not sure if I should be offended or honored.
Just stay calm, buddy.
Using computer implants to control people's minds. That's almost as lame as using civilians.
I never asked for these abilities. I might be happier without them.
Well then, my dear, I'm going to make you a very happy person.
General Wall turned her attention to the female scientist, diligently tinkering with a machine.
How's it coming?
Almost ready. The machine just needs to recalibrate for 3 minutes.
The scientist pointed to a switch in the middle of the machine.
Then I flip the switch, and you have Natasha's powers.
Lovely. Begin the countdown.
I knew my cue when I heard it. As dangerous as Natasha may have been with her powers, it didn't take a genius to know the General Wall with those powers would be a much bigger danger. It was time to break out and stop this. With everybody concentrating on the general and the device, it shouldn't have been hard. I tried moving my wrist in just that right way that pops Gus into my hand. But with my arms tied to the chair, that just the right way wasn't quite the right way. Gus didn't activate.
Zach, you should probably break loose now.
I can't get Gus out.
That's because with your hands tied, you can't properly catch him.
Can you increase the strength of my arm so I can break these chains?
Highly unlikely. Those chains are made from extra high-density flexi iron. It's one of Dr. Poole's newest patterns.
I thought for a nano. Each of my hands and legs were chained separately to the chair. If I could just get my weapon arm free from the chair. The chair. That was it.
Hart, can you increase the strength of my hips and butt?
Sure. Why? Do you want to do some aerobics so you'll die fitter?
No, Harv. If I smash the chair, my arms and legs will be free.
Hey, that is good thinking.
Way to go, Mr. Zach!
You're ready.
I didn't feel any different, but I had to trust Harv. I arched my butt up as far as I could, then smashed it down on the chair. The chair shattered as I dropped through the seat to the floor. Quickly rolling to the side, I popped Gus into my hand. The guards in the room went for their weapons. Using a wide-angle stun ray, I was able to easily take out the ones on the right side. The ones on the left opened fire. Spinning around, I was able to avoid two of their shots. Two others hit me square in the gut, but my Under Armour took all the damage.
He's got body armor on, you fools! Aim for his head!
Firing another wide-angle stun blast, I took out the entire left side. Smiling, I turned my attention to the General Under scientists. I waved Gus at the scientist manning the machine.
Time to back slowly away from that switch.
She lifted her arms and backed off. Smart girl. I pointed to the scientist sitting next to Natasha. She was a younger lady.
Now, free Natasha.
The scientist stood up and waved a wand like an electronic key over the shackles that were holding Natasha's legs down. The shackles opened up. She pointed the key at Natasha's arm shackles, which also popped up. Natasha sat up and smiled.
I'd like to thank you for your efforts, Zack.
You'll never get away with this. My men won't let you.
Sure I will. I pointed Gus at the general. I'm guessing your most loyal troops, the ones who really know what's going on, are in here. And they're out of it for a while. I'm also guessing the council doesn't know of your actions.
Of course they don't. Those pansy civilians can't see the beauty of my plan.
Therefore, I'm guessing that once my computer contacts the council, they'll order the rest of your troops to stand down, and they will.
I was pretty pleased with myself. I had saved Natasha and stopped the general. All in all, things had turned out pretty well.
Natasha, you can disconnect yourself from the machine now.
I know.
Natasha walked near the machine.
I truly appreciate your efforts, Zack. Problem is, I don't want these powers.
She flipped the switch. Natasha fell to a knee. General Wall sat up from the gurney she was on. One of the scientists touched her on the shoulder.
Did it work, ma'am?
Wall smiled at the scientist, who fell lifeless to the ground. Wall smiled at the other two scientists. They dropped dead as well. Wall removed the headpiece and stood from the gurney.
I'll let you be the judge of that.
Gus, we have to take her fast before she really figures out how to use Natasha's powers.
Gus went flying out of my hand into the general's open hand.
Too late! This is a fine weapon. Too fine a weapon for a civilian cretin like you to appreciate.
A squad of the general's men burst into the room.
We're here, General Wall. Oh, I see you have the hostile under control.
Yes, of course I do. What took you and your men so long to respond?
Ma'am, the door is heavily reinforced, locked with a manual lock from the inside. It took us a while to cut through.
The entire squad fell lifeless to the floor.
Bad answer.
The general surveyed the damage he had wrought.
I truly am an army of one.
I pointed at her very dramatically.
You may have great mental powers now, but remember, you're not invulnerable.
I slowly approached the general.
You may think you have all the power and all the answers, but you don't!
Why are you shouting at me?
To distract you. I looked down at the unconscious general.
Natasha, you have to take your power back.
No, I don't want it. You were right. I abused it.
You can learn to control your powers.
How do you know?
I just have faith in you. Not totally sure why, I just do. My instinct tells me it's right. If you don't, General Wall will just kill us both when she comes around.
You may not have to wait that long to die. With all the human troops now either dead or incapacitated, the base's backup robo-troops have activated. They are rolling here now.
Taking Natasha by the hand, I looked in her eyes. Natasha, please, you have to take your power back.
But I'm dangerous.
Not nearly as dangerous as the wacko general. You were designed and conditioned to hold this kind of power. The general wasn't.
True, but as long as I'm alive and with the power, they will never let me live free.
I may have a way around that.
You do?
Just take back your power, and I promise I'll find a way for you to live free. Trust me.
I do trust you, Zack. Not sure why, but I do.
Good. The first step is to get Natasha and Wall hooked back up to the machine.
I bent down and lifted up the general.
Does it matter what gurney I put her on, Harv?
Going over the machine specs now. No, it doesn't matter.
Carrying the general over to the non-padded gurney, I quickly bolted down her arms and feet. Moving to her head, I grabbed the headpiece and placed it on her.
Is that all I need to do?
Yes. For a power transferring machine, it is very user-friendly.
Now your turn, Natasha.
She hesitated for the briefest nano, then went and laid down on the other gurney.
This one is much more comfortable.
Good. Now put on the headpiece. Natasha placed the flat metal band on her forehead.
Okay, Zack. Now all you have to do is flip the switch and I'll have my power back.
That should be pretty easy.
I move to the switch.
Yes, it will be. Once the system powers up, all will be well. As long as you can hold off the battle bots.
Battle bots?
Yes, I told you, when all the human troops were disabled or, well, killed, the station's backup defense kicked in.
Pedcac, that was fast.
Wouldn't be a very good backup if it wasn't.
True!
I'm a pacifist, and even I see the wisdom in that.
How many of them are there?
10.
Of course there are.
Oh, face it, Zack. You'd be disappointed if there weren't killer bots coming.
Hart was right. I did kind of dig the added danger. I'm not sure what that says about me, but I was sure I didn't want to or have time to think of the social and moral ramifications of it either. It was time to react, not think. Hey, how much trouble can a few BattleBots be when I have Gus here?
About that, Mr. Zack, sir.
Yes, Gus?
You'll be mad.
No, I won't.
Then you'll be disappointed.
Gus, get to the point. I don't have a lot of time before the BattleBots get here.
You have 14 seconds.
When that yucky general grabbed me, I deactivated myself. I figured her mental powers mixed with my firepower was a bad combination.
Knowing what was coming next, I moved immediately toward one of the fallen guards. So what you're saying is, you're nothing but a fancy stick until you power up.
I wouldn't have said it with such humor, but yes.
He's such a brown noser.
How long until you power up, Gus? I grabbed one of the guards' weapons.
3 minutes. Sorry.
Guess I'll just have to make do. Harv, can you cloak me?
I can, but it won't matter. These are advanced model T-2000 BattleBots. They have the new patent-pending anti-hologram technology built in. It's really quite impressive.
Turning toward the door, I saw the first two bots had rolled into the room. Looks like I'm gonna go old school. Firing at the lead BattleBot, I hit it in the head area. I had wounded it, but not put it out by a long shot. It turned its gun turrets toward me.
You will be neutralized!
The two bots coming in behind it also aimed and opened fire. Diving toward the bots, I managed to avoid most of their hail of energy weapons. A couple blasts hit me, burning holes in my shirt and pants, but my armor took the damage. I was lucky. Years of fighting BattleBots have made me quite aware of their limitations. Most people let their massive frames, their multiple weapon turrets, and their retractable, razor-sharp claw-like arms deter them. They see a BattleBot rolling toward them, and they either freeze in fear, surrender, run, or take cover. I've learned to take the opposite approach. I come right at them. It takes BattleBots a while to figure out how to deal with an attacker who's bold enough or stupid enough to be an attacker. Rolling toward them, I returned their fire as best I could, firing pretty randomly in their direction, hoping to hit them.
He is crazy.
We hate crazy.
We must recalculate our offensive plan of defense.
After a few nanos, I stopped rolling, took aim, and fired from the ground. Jumping to my feet while firing away, I drew closer to the baffled bots, concentrating my fire on the lead bot. Took him out.
Time to use the Zachary Dixon Johnson defense.
That didn't sound good. Though in a way, I guess I should have been honored they would think enough of me to program their bots with a special defense meant just for me. Of course, you don't think of those things when BattleBots are trying to kill you.
Concentrate fire in the same spot. We can burn through his armor.
Would that work? One blast hit me in the leg, then another, all in the exact same spot. I fell to the ground, grasping the area they'd hit.
Offhanded, I'd have to say yes, that will work.
The bots turned their concentration to my shoulder area, hitting me with shot after shot, forcing me to not only scream in pain, but to drop my weapon. The bots rolled up to me. I was lying on the floor in agony. They extended their energy weapons out until they each were touching a side of my forehead.
I surrender!
Surrender is not an option. You have invaded an Earthborn secure area and killed many of its personnel. You will be terminated as an example.
I didn't kill anybody. The general did.
That makes no sense. The general is our leader. Besides, we saw you destroy BattleBot Unit 2703.
That was self-defense.
How could it be self-defense when it was defending its base and doing its assigned task?
Harv, is the process complete yet?
Almost.
How much time left?
10 seconds.
You have 10 seconds to answer before we kill you. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I looked up to see Natasha at my side.
Well,
I see you have your powers back.
Smart man.
She touched me gently on the forehead. I felt better, much better. Looking down at where I should have had wounds, there was no damage.
I can also heal, you know.
I stood up. I felt better than I had in years.
Oh, wow.
Whew. Can you fix receding hairlines?
I prefer not to use my abilities for such trivial matters.
I am now fully activated and ready for action!
I've already wilted all the battle bots, so I'm happy to say, Gus, there is no need for you.
Aw, shucks!
I also have to say, Gus and Harv, I need to shut you down for a moment longer.
Gus fell silent. I could sense that Harv wasn't around either. It was weird, but not in a bad way.
Zack, as long as I'm alive and Earth Force is around, I will never be able to live in peace, and that's all I want. So I will either have to destroy all of Earth Force or myself. Neither option is appealing to me. But you have another plan?
How many people are still alive on the station?
You, me, the General, and 13 others. Though I have mentally reverted the General to childhood. I'm hoping they may do a better job with her when they re-educate her.
In that case, there is another way. Natasha looked at me.
Yes. That may work.
She bent over and kissed me. The next thing I knew, I was on the elevator heading back down to Earth with General Wall sucking her thumb. There were also 13 of her troops and the lady scientist who'd been monitoring Natasha. They all had looks of confusion on their faces. They clearly had no idea what had just happened. It was a blur to me, too.
Whoa, what's going on?
I'm back online too, Mr. Zack. I too wonder what happened.
I guess Natasha just wants to be alone forever on the base. She mentally sent us all away.
Yes, I guess that's true.
She felt really bad about what happened up there. Sure, she didn't kill all the soldiers or scientists, but her power did. Harf turned to the stunned lady scientist.
I thought General Wall killed her too.
She did. Natasha tried to revive them all, but Nancy here's the only one she could. Natasha guessed that it was because Nancy was the first one the General killed, so she still didn't really know how to use her power.
That makes sense.
Harv looked at General Wall, sucking her thumb.
I see Natasha took her revenge.
Natasha doesn't consider it revenge. More of a safety precaution. Contact General Chen and Captain Ricky and tell them we're on the way down.
No need, Zack. They already know.
Oh, okay. The trip down seemed much faster.
That's because Natasha made us all into temporary zombies.
I kinda liked it.
You would. I did not.
I agree with Harv. Zombies are yucky.
Finally, you're wising up.
When the door opened, we were greeted by a dozen heavily armed men pointing their weapons at us.
No need to panic. Natasha isn't with us.
What?
I saw that General Chen was behind the armed men blockade.
I said, Natasha isn't with us.
Give them room, men.
The sea of troopers parted, allowing me clear access to General Chen. I was relieved to see Tony, Elektra, Randy, and JJ standing beside him. Walking through the troops, my first order of business was to hug and kiss Elektra. Did you miss me?
I did have plenty of company here, but yes, a little.
I missed you too.
Ignoring Randy, I turned to General Chen. You know, Elektra here's a doctor. She may be able to give you something for that tickle in your throat.
Where is Natasha?
She decided to stay up there and deactivate the elevator. This way she can't hurt anybody else and you can't hurt her. Sounds like the perfect compromise to me. I'm sure when you review the station's video, you'll see General Wall is the true monster here. Natasha did nothing wrong.
Still, it is unacceptable that an asset like Natasha be allowed to roam free.
She's not exactly roaming, General. If you leave her alone, I'm sure she won't hurt anybody.
What makes you so certain?
Just trusting my gut.
That's not nearly good enough for me.
The General turned to one of his men.
You sure we are safe here?
I didn't like the sound of that at all. The man nodded. I didn't like the look of that at all. General Chen rolled up his sleeve, revealing a wrist keypad communicator. Much like the one I wear, he pressed a couple of buttons.
No!
All of the General's men aimed their weapons at me. Tony and Elektra each grabbed one of my arms, restraining me.
Lucky for you, Johnson, your friend and woman are smarter than you.
And your computer.
The General pushed two more buttons on his pad. The platform we were on shook back and forth, but we remained standing.
The base has been totally destroyed. Natasha is dead.
You'd blow up a billion-credit base just to stop Natasha?
Yes, of course. She was far too big a clear and present danger to remain free, no matter what your gut may think.
The next days were difficult ones for me. I had managed to save the world from General Wall, gaining Natasha's power and creating a new world order. For that, I guess I should have been happy. I just felt so used on so many levels. All General Wall had wanted all along was Natasha's power, so she could shape the world the way she wanted.
I'm not sure what General Chen wanted exactly, but I guess he figured if he couldn't control that power, nobody would. The really ridiculous thing was that most of the press thought the General and I were heroes for what we did. Chen was very open about his actions. He had no choice with all those well-armed witnesses there, but he was able to convince much of the world that what he did was acceptable, that if Natasha roamed free, she would, like General Wall, turn and try to destroy or control everything. The World Council and most people thought a billion credits and one life were worth sacrificing for saving everything. I wasn't sure I totally agreed, but nobody really asked me. A bit of good news did come from all this. Randy leaked to the media that Peapods could be used to subliminally plant ideas into people's heads. It turned out that most people didn't mind this either, their logic being the less thinking they had to do about trivial stuff, the better. Kind of scary, but not that surprising. It was a beautiful day, so I decided to go for a walk. I got up from my desk and walked into Carol's reception area. It was nice to see her back at her desk. How you feeling?
Fine. My power levels have been reset some. Maybe they'll come back, maybe they won't. Either way, I'm still more powerful than 99.99% of the population.
Probably for the best for everybody. I'm starting to doubt that humans should be wielding that kind of power anyhow.
After seeing firsthand what Natasha could do, I agree too. I am sad she had to die, though.
Me too, Chica. Me too. Hopefully, a walk along the pier will ease some of that sadness. Carol looked up at me.
I don't see how, but good luck.
Sitting down on a bench overlooking the water, I just watched all the people and birds go by. That is, until they all froze in place. I felt a hand on my shoulder. Took you long enough.
Sorry, I had a client.
Nancy the scientist sat down next to me. You okay?
I resigned my commission from Earth Force. I told them after seeing what I saw up there, I couldn't take it any longer.
And they were good with that?
She smiled, her hair falling over her shoulders. I noticed it was a lighter shade of blonde than before.
Of course.
Now what?
This poor Nancy woman was all alone in this world. No family. All she had was work.
Looks like you picked the perfect person to replace.
I still feel bad I couldn't save any of them. It's just the General was so evil. She had so much hate in her mind. She killed them all very dead. I dared not to try to revive them for fear of what it would do to their brains, or worse.
Putting my finger under her chin, I lifted her head up gently. Even though she looked like Nancy the scientist, the eyes showed me she wasn't.
You did nothing wrong. You deserve a life. A nice, normal life.
I know. I've started a massage business. I'm renting an office just a few blocks away from yours.
Put me on your client list.
I already have, Zach. Oh, I shouldn't keep things suspended like this long. It can't be good for the universe.
Good idea. I'm sure when and if you do use your abilities, it will be for good.
I'll see you for a massage next Wednesday at 11 a.m. It's on the house, of course, since I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Kind of ironic, since at first you were warning me not to take the case.
Silly Zach. I was just doing that because I knew it would make sure you'd take the case. You may not have trusted the military, but you certainly weren't going to let me scare you away.
I didn't know if that was totally true, but I was giving her the benefit of the doubt. I took her hand. I hoped I'd done the right thing here. Leaning over, she kissed me on the cheek.
Mwah. A wise man once said, sometimes you have to trust your gut.
She walked away, and the world turned back on. Harv appeared sitting next to me on the bench.
Oh, what happened?
Nothing. The world is perfectly normal.
I could swear my temporal senses are out of whack.
Don't you just hate it when that happens?
I do.
Oh, no. I can't believe I just said out of whack. I've been connected to you for too long.
I just smiled. I knew I had made the right choice. Yep, sometimes you just have to trust your gut.
The Flaxen Femme Fatale is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2008 by John Zakor. Recorded by arrangement with Daw Books Incorporated. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication prohibited. Performed by Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Kimberly Gilbert, Nanette Savard, Evan Casey, Danny Gavigan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, Nathaniel Perry, Margie Tompros, Yasmin Twazon, Bradley Smith, Casey Platt, Anastasia Wilson, Terrence Aselford, Tracy Lynn Oliveira, Gregory Gordon, Ren Casey, Tim Carlin, James Konacek, and Mort Shelby. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Flaxen Femme Fatale, be sure to look for the next episode in the nuclear bombshell series, The Sapphire Sirens. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of another graphic audio title.
Around here there shall surely be, born to be strong, raised to be free.
Leave! Oh, leave before it comes, before it slithers out and devours us, please!
You need help!
No, no, it will come soon, the appointed one, the one that always comes.
You're intended as a sacrifice?
It's coming! I hear it!
I'm not afraid of it, whatever it is.
Damn flop ears. Sacrificing a slave girl any rich man would pay a fortune for.
What was your name?
Kyan. Kyan Knight.
This is Matthew Biscuit. Matt, this is Kyan Knight from a far and distant land.
What's he doing here?
My father and mother came to this frame from a world almost like it. We haven't any silver serpents, but we have golden dragons there.
Dragons? Well, them legendary beasts. Storybook stuff.
So are serpents big enough to swallow war horses? Back home, I mean. In the frame I come from.
Frame? What are you talking about?
If you don't know, you may think I'm making this up. There are worlds interpenetrating, sometimes overlapping, touching slightly here and there. Each universe, each world connecting and adjoining universes, only a little different from each other. Our world's people have pointed ears, while another world's people have round ears. One world has silver serpents, while another has golden dragons. The floor! The floor! I see it now! It will still work for us. We can cross the astral bridge through Muvar's magic to where Kyan and your father are.
Oh, Kelvin, you're so brave. I knew you'd want to go to that other world and rescue your father and brother. I knew you just couldn't do anything else.
Rofirth is making a pact with the Flop-Ears?
If we can rescue my father, perhaps he can help. I'm not sure how, or maybe he can go back to Earth and get Earth weapons, lasers, flying devices. They might help.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but if you think your father can help us defeat Rofirth, then we'll rescue him. Only that won't be easy. The Serpent people aren't like ordinary mortals. They have magic. The ability to stop a fighting man in his tracks with just a glance.
Helen Hackleberry?
Yes, I'm Helen Hackleberry. Mrs. Hackleberry.
You won't recognize me. You never laid eyes on me before. Adult eyes, that is. I'm Sean Riley, nicknamed St. Helens.
St. Helens? You...
Right, girl. I'm your father. And you be the round ear of prophecy, son? A round ear there shall surely be. Born to be strong, raised to be free.
Fighting dragons in his youth, leading armies, nothing loth.
I've come from the kingdom of Aratex. Come to visit my daughter and my famous son-in-law. But I've come for a purpose. Things are not right in Aratex. The dissatisfaction is great. You know about Blastmoor, of course. Rotten excuse for a king.
I heard reports. He has a witch to keep people in line?
Old Melba. Ghastly hag. She goes up to Conjurer's Rock, waves her fingers and shouts gibberish, and everybody faints. People there are real cowed, afraid to do anything on their own. With help? Well, that's a different matter.
I've heard she controls the elements through magic. Wind, water, fire, and earth. That she can make the wind blow, the water rise, the fire burn, and the earth tremble.
Superstitious nonsense.
Curse
Curse you, old woman!
Fool! Fool! To seek to destroy me with nothing more potent than an ordinary sword!
Earthquake and avalanche! Lord, if they're caught in that...
It's her! It's Melba, up on Conjure's Rock! She's doing it! She's causing the ground to shake!
Remove our weapon! Use it, Kelvin! Try shooting it at her!
It's a fireball! Stop it! Stop it now!
Kelvin of Rudd, Book 2, Serpent's Silver.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
If you can't find that Graphic Audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.